Now let us turn to the Word of God and read one verse together, found in the Gospel according to John, chapter 8. The Gospel according to John, chapter 8. And I'm going to read to you verse 36. One verse only. And it reads like this: If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now that's a very simple verse, but it is a very solemn verse. It may be that you have difficulty in understanding what the Savior is saying. For if I were to ask you tonight, what does it mean when I use the word freedom? And if I were to ask a broad spectrum tonight, I would get a variety of answers, maybe as various as the people in the meeting tonight. Because in many hearts, in many minds, in many lands, this word freedom takes on a different connotation. You might think of political freedom. You might think of social freedom. There are many ways in which men would interpret this word, free or freedom. But I want you to understand that as far as the gospel is concerned, and more particularly, as far as the words of the Savior are concerned, he was speaking of spiritual freedom. Now, you might say that's a very arbitrary interpretation. And you might say, well, that's your opinion. And you have every right to say that. But when us fellows here try to preach the gospel, I want to tell you something. We try to look at the Word of God as carefully and as thoughtfully as we possibly can. For we understand that we're speaking to people that are intelligent and that are bound to think. And we want you to think, but we want you to think aright. Now, I haven't very far to go to acquire a very simple understanding of what the Lord meant. For here are his words just a little bit above where we read. And he said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You see, that's what he's talking about. Here's people in the meeting tonight, boys and girls and men and women, and they're in this whosoever. Whoever you might be, if you commit sin and continue to commit sin, which every one of us have done, then, says the Savior, you're a born servant of sin. That's what you are. You might feel you're free. You might feel you're free to do what you will. You might feel you're free to think whatever way you wish. But remember, if that freedom you exercise, if that act you perform, if that thought you think, if that word you speak is contrary to the mind of God, then it is designated in the Word of God as sin. That's why men don't like the Bible. That's why men despise the Bible. That is why men deny the Bible. Because it tells men what they are, where they are, and the consequences of their S-I-N sin. I was preaching in Klein many, many, many years ago. There are very few in the meeting where no where Klang is, but there are at least three. And a headmaster came to me after the meeting. He says, do you think that these people here, and they're all Chinese, of course, do you think these people here understand the word sin? I said, mister, I want to tell you, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you understand it? He was an HM, an Englishman. And he was a headmaster of a very large school in those days. And he was trying out a little bit of psychology on me. And he was trying to tell me I'm using a word that these people away in the East wouldn't understand very well. I tell you, they understand it. You understand it too, don't you? And you know what sin is. And you know when the Lord Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You know exactly that you have wrapped around yourself bonds from which you cannot be delivered. I'll just leave that for a moment. Let us get to the text. What the verse says, if the Son shall make you free. I'm not going to presume tonight, because I did it once. I'm back in Malacca with my friend in the back seat there. He was in the meeting. 1965, in the town hall, we opened it with the gospel. The authorities decided to have a big opening, and we got in before them and opened the place in the gospel for a full week. And on the Thursday night, halfway down the hall, there's a young fellow sitting in the seat after the crowd had gone. I could tell you his name. I could tell you where he lived. I said, can I help you? He said, I thought I had to believe in God. And he says, you told me to believe in the Son. Who is the Son? See, didn't know. It was the first time he ever heard the gospel. He had been traveling down on his bicycle down Wolferson Road, you'll not know where it is, and he looked up and he saw a 40-foot banner across the street. Maybe Roland helped me to put it up. I can't remember. If it wasn't Roland, it was Mutt. One or the other. Two rascals they were before God saved them. I'm not telling any stories on Roland, but there were two rascals. And God saved them both. And they were great helpers in the gospel. And this fellow's traveling down and he looks up and he said, never been at a meeting like that before. And he took a note of the place and he took a note of the time. And he's in the meeting on the Thursday night. First time. He said, I would like to be saved. I said, but you don't know anything about it. And then the next minute I bit my tongue and I remembered what the Lord said. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast. It didn't say him that knows. It doesn't say him that only heard the gospel. It doesn't say him that heard it for 6 weeks. It doesn't say him whatever. It just says, him that cometh unto me. And I presented the Son to that dear fellow. And Raymond trusted the Lord Jesus the first night he ever heard the gospel. And your old friend, I hope you know who the Son is. I'm going to tell you. Not from anything I have compounded. But if we had a time, we could have read the whole of this 8th chapter. And you know what we'd have heard? We'd have heard him telling us who he is. That's better still, isn't it? And when we come to the end of this great chapter, I stand amazed and I look in the face of the Lord Jesus and I listen with both ears and I hear him say, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I thank God for that. You know why? In Malaysia, there are people who call themselves Buddhists. And they come to me and they tell me, Bentley, our religion is older than yours. For Buddha was born long before Christ. My man. Very good. And then I get people on the other side and they are Muslims. And they come and say, well, you see, our religion is younger than yours. Because Muhammad was born after Christ. And of course, they're making a thrust at the gospel. You know, friend, I can tell them this, that the gospel is beyond time. And the Christ is beyond history. And here's the reassurance of the gospel coming from the lips of the Savior. Before Abraham was, I was. Oh, I wouldn't do it at all, friend. Hope you know that down there. Before Abraham was, I am. Know what he's doing, friend? Listen with both ears. He's taking upon himself the honored claim of equality. That gives me reassurance. And when I face those Buddhists, and if I have to face the Muslims, which we're not allowed to, but I thank God I can lift up a Savior that's before time. And I can lift up a Savior that's eternal. And I can lift up a Savior that's prehistoric. And I can lift up a Savior that was pre-existent. And I can lift up a Savior that's eternally pre-existent. That's the reassurance from his own lips. I am. You hear what he said to a man? You hear what he said to the people in this chapter? And I want you to listen, friend. He said it to the people after he had dealt with a dear woman. Listen what he said. He said, I am the light of the world. And good. I am the light of the world. He's just telling you who he is. What's that? That's the radiance of the gospel. Coming from the Savior are the living rays of God's illuminating love and wondrous grace that exposes man in all his sin as he would with this dear woman and all such in the meeting tonight. And at the same time, not only exposing their sin, but expressing his love, not for their sin, but for them as sinners in wondrous grace. And the gospel, dear friend, is in a person. And the gospel is a person. And here is the Son as the reassurance of the gospel. He says, I am. As the radiance of the gospel, he said, I am the light of the world. I have to hear it. Do you know what he said in this chapter? I hope you read it. And read it entirely. Listen to what he said. He said, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am. Oh, friend, I want to tell you something. This great gospel finds a place in every Christian's heart, the like of which it's almost impossible to tell. But one thing I love about it is this. I love the three times that my Savior used those words. Well, he used them more than once, but in three places. Listen to them. I love to tell them. I want you to listen to them, friend, for this is the revelation of the gospel. What is it? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Lifted up. Friend, tonight he's telling you of this, that it was an absolute necessity that blessed one should be lifted up on Calvary. And he's telling a seeking soul that's in the dark, in spite of his religion and his respectability and all his reasoning, he needs to be born again. And he's pointing the way to himself. And he reminds the man that away back yonder in the days of Israel, there was a serpent lifted on a pole and those that looked lived. Like as it was when Moses lifted up the serpent, says the Savior, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. On another occasion in John 12 he said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And friend, whether you like it or not, you're going to be drawn to Christ, either a Savior or of judge, must I from my God be driven, or with my Savior dwell, must come at his command to heaven, or else depart to hell. Friend, he is the light upon every soul in the building tonight. Why? Because he was lifted up. Either to draw you in blessing, or to draw you in eternal damnation, for you'll have to face him. You'll have to stand before him because he was lifted up. Well, here's the central one. He said, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Where were we the other night? We're at the foot of the cross, weren't we? You remember? And we heard a man on another cross cry, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. There's the proof. The Lord Jesus is lifted up on the cross. And it dawns on that dear man for the first time in his experience. He's there not for anything. he had done in guilt himself. The Savior had done nothing on this, he says. And he looked at himself and he said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. I'm a sinner, he confesses. And it dawned on him for the first time in his history that he was looking at God's beloved Son. And he turned to him and he said, Lord, remember me. Here's a verse. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you. And there's nothing. Oh, let me tell you, friend. I love to speak of the Lord. I love to speak of the Lord in Galilee. I love to speak of the Lord as he walked through those streets in the cities that are mentioned. But listen, there's nothing tells him out more perfectly and more gloriously than just to see him lifted up. We sing the somber as he did. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a shame. I use it before. You listen. He said, if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sin. But, friend, if you go out of this meeting refusing to believe who he is, rejecting the clear revelation of the gospel in the person of God's beloved Son, if you, said the Savior, if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. And where I am, thither ye come. That's the response to the gospel. He stands tonight, friend, as the crucial Christ. And your destiny in heaven, or your destiny in hell, could be decided tonight in your attitude to Christ. He says, if the Son shall make you free. What does it mean to be made free? Well, I've told you already. I hope you acknowledge it. You're in the bondage of sin. When I was a wee fella, I attended gospel meetings in Ebenezer Gospel Hall. And some of these nice wee boys here are sitting listening to that. There was over 400 children in the meeting every Monday night. And I remember one night a preacher came, and what he did was this. He got a wee fella up on a chair, and he took out a silken thread, and he wound it round the wee fella, and tied it, and he asked him to break it, and he broke it, and we all laughed. And then he did it second time, third time, and he did it several times. But each time the little fellow was able to break the cord. Then he said, now sit down, son, and we'll do it a lot of times this time. And the man went round and round and round and round the wee fellow till it almost the whole spool exhausted. And he tied it. And he asked the wee fella to break it. Oh, friend, I can see that wee fella using all the energy until the redness came in his face. And he said, sir, I can't break it. My, that was the message that man wanted to give us wee fellas that night. That was it. That sin is like a master. Sin is like a cord. Sin is like a chain, friend, that binds you. As a slave in his house. And what you need to do is to be free. There are some men in the meeting that need free. And there are some women in the meeting tonight who need to be free. Alright. I want to take you a walk through the gospel. You listen to both of you. There's a man in one of these great chapters, and he can't walk. He's lame.
and the Lord set him free.
There's a man in this gospel, and he's blind, and he couldn't see, and the Lord set him free. Right? There are men in a boat in this gospel, and they're in fear. They were in danger, and the Lord set them free with one word. You're listening now. All men. In this gospel, there is a man dead, wrapped in the grave clothes, dead. And the majesty of Christ, and the might of Christ was demonstrated. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And in a moment, that man stood alive. He was freed. Can you understand that? I want you to see, friend, the lameness of sin. I want you to see the blindness of sin. I want you to feel the restlessness of sin. And I want you to realize, friend, that though you're very much alive physically, you're dead spiritually, and you need to be freed from the power of sin. Now there's another man, and he bears my name. Or should I say, I bear his name. And he was set free. Not from darkness, not from danger, not from death, but from doubt. Maybe you doubt the word of God. Maybe you doubt the God of the word. My friend, you need to be set free. And Thomas was in a state of doubt. And the Lord freed him. I'm absolutely certain that Thomas never doubted again. He was freed from the bondage of doubt. The others from the bondage of death. The others from the bondage of darkness. The others from the bondage of danger. What about you? If the Son, therefore, shall make you free. Friend, if you got liberated tonight by the power of grace, by the blood of Christ, that precious blood that can break the power of canceled sin and set the prisoner free. If the Son shall make you free, I tell you, friend, you'll be free indeed. But there's some woman in the need. I want to be faithful to you too. You listen. I see a woman in the Bible in this chapter, in this gospel, and she had a secret relationship. And she thought the Lord didn't know. And she came and she stood before the Savior, and she would have talked a lot. But the Savior said, go call thy husband. Why did he say that? Oh, for several reasons. I tell you why. She had said, if this water is so good, why don't you give it to me? The Lord looks at her and says, well, if you think it's good for you, it must be good for your husband. So why don't you go and call your husband? And she said, I don't have a husband. You're right. You've had 5 husbands. And the one whom thou now hast is not thine husband. See? She was bound by a secret relationship that the Lord exposed. You know, friend, it could be that this is keeping you back from Christ tonight. You've got a secret relationship and you're bound by it. The Lord has set you free. In this chapter, there's a woman who's had a sinful relationship. Sinful relationship. And the Lord set her free. And there's two women in chapter 11
and they've had a severed relationship.
See, gospel suits men and women just the same. A severed relationship. But the Lord set them free. You know, dear friend, if therefore the Son shall set you free, maybe, dear woman, you have a secret relationship. Maybe you have a sinful relationship. Maybe you have a severed relationship. I could go on. There are other women, and every woman in the Gospel of John has got to do with relationship. But there was a dear woman brought into a spiritual relationship. You listening? Where the Lord said to her, go tell my brethren, I ascend unto my God and your God, unto my Father and unto your Father. That would be good, wouldn't it? The Lord would bring you into a spiritual relationship with himself tonight. He'd make you free. Are you going to trust him? Or friend, are you going to be bound in sin? Are you going to live a bond slave to sin? Are you going to endure the long eternity in chains of everlasting darkness? Never. Never. To be free. May the Lord bless you.